This is the Neds NRL Punting Podcast with Jarrell Yao Yi, Oscar Panifex, Liam Fogarty, and Jared Timms.
It's that time of year where teams are calling on their depth players, and it's no different for the Neds NRL Punting Podcast as the grind of the season forces some changes to our starting lineup. G'day, punters. I'm James Coughlin in the hosting chair, filling in for an ailing Jared Timms.
Yes.
And I'm joined by our substitute stats man, Ryan Cook.
G'day, James. G'day, boys. Good to hear that g'day punters in your voice there, Jim. How good?
Well, someone needs to say it if Jared can't. And thankfully, we still have a couple of first choice options on hand, including our all-star winger, Jarrell Yao Yi.
Hello. How are we, gentlemen? It's good to be back for another week. Consecutive, actually. This brings me into the realms of, I don't know, like 300 gamers on the podcast, because I haven't missed one since we started.
All-star.
Yeah.
All-star
territory. So now Jared is taking 1 week off. What a fraud. Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk to him when he gets back.
And you've got a rookie steering the ship, but thankfully we do have the mastermind of all things rugby league.
The mastermind.
From rugbyleaguewriters.com, Oscar Panifex.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, we've talked a lot about depth this year, haven't we?
We
squad
have.
Depth and how important it was going to be in a longer season.
Well, oh, yeah.
We're reaching into the reserve grades this week, and I think we've got a couple of star players of the future.
I think we're going to be okay.
Never take a week off, Timsy.
Yeah, if there's one thing Ryan and I need, it's an ego boost before, yeah. before we stage our palace coup on this podcast.
You've got your own little boost already, Matt.
Got him a beauty. Just when he thought he'd knocked him down a couple of pegs.
Can't be an apple.
I probably don't need that, actually.
Yeah. Well, it's the joys of being 33 and still waiting for your growth spurt.
Good.
All right,
good.
Let's get on to it. Guys, first question for you. 4 weeks left, the ladder still very much in flux.
Yep.
Would you rather have a bye up your sleeve when the 2 points to come or the ability to keep the momentum going? We've got the Broncos and Panthers going for the minor premiership, Jarrell.
Yeah, no, I would want to have one up my sleeve probably 2 weeks out, I reckon, because, I mean, well, usually we only have two a year. We've got three this year. Yep. I think it's a benefit. If you can have a week off, a couple of weeks off just before those finals footy hits, and then if you finish first, second, or fourth, and you get another week off, I mean, there's nothing better than fresh bodies. And unfortunately for some teams, they're not going to get that opportunity because they've had all their buys. But it is the business end. You need all the rest you can get.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Rabbitohs fan. Bunnies have got a bye in round 26, so the second.
I think the Bronx have one more too.
Bronx have got another one as well.
Yeah, yeah.
The Rabbitohs are busted with injuries at the moment. So I think for them, to answer your question, I think really valuable to be having a bye left up their sleeve. We don't have much momentum to play with at the moment anyway, so we could probably use a week to rest
happened?
Up.
Shit the bed over the weekend.
Mate, busted. I think absolutely busted. Anyway, we might get into that later, I'm sure.
Yeah, we will. Well, we will.
The only thing that makes me curious is, so if you've got a bye, and especially in the case of the Broncos and Panthers, you wind up playing one game in 3 weeks potentially with some sort of permutations on it. So are you worried about momentum coming undone?
Yeah, potentially, although the Panthers have been the model of consistency for the last 3 years, haven't they? So I think they'd appreciate the week off. I think the Bronx would be fine as well. I think there's probably an argument to make for it, maybe for a team that's, sneaking into the finals, coming on a bit of a run into the finals.
Yeah, I also think if you've got injuries, you probably need it as well. But if you don't and you've got a chance to rest your players, it's a great opportunity. I mean, I've played a full season before and there's nothing, you get towards the end and you bug it and then you've got to take it up another notch. So it depends on how you, I suppose, at a professional level, it depends on how you look after your players as well. Do you train them the first couple of days and then give them 3 or 4 days off to freshen up and then give them one fitness session when they come back? I think they're smart enough to be able to understand the load and how they, handle those situations. And it's a different realm for everyone because having three buys is not something that we're used to in the NRL, but I'm sure they can adapt. And I know there's still a lot of players that are at the Broncos that have a few niggles that might just be at the right time of the year that we need that little break.
I think if you're a team like the Knights, you probably don't want to buy over the next month because you're riding a lot of momentum at the moment. But I wanted to ask you, Jarrell, do teams sort of train a bit harder towards the back end of the year, or do you back off?
The older boys, they back right off. I can tell you how
wonder
much.
Why.
Like Hodge would probably train the back 6 weeks. He would train once or twice, not even twice a week. He would do team run. And then you've got other players like Darren Lockyer who he'll just train every session because he's a professional. He's a professional. They don't really ramp up the training. Look, I would say that if there is a week off, you'd ease down, but you'd have to have that conditioning session to make sure you get back up to that level because, like any of us, we know like having 3 days off work, you can do a lot of damage in 3 days. And we know rugby league players like to enjoy themselves to the extreme. So I can tell you this much, they can do just as much damage as normal people in the world too. So they'd need that little tune up just before they get back into full training and into the finals.
And sports science has just taken off in the last 5 years as well. Compared to, a decade ago, every single exertion is micromanaged now.
Yeah. I can't believe, I hear some of the stuff that happens now, and I can't even believe I'm going to say this, but back in my day, we didn't have the GPSs weren't as prevalent and we didn't have to use them as much. Mm. Now, if you're not training to the, extent that everyone else is, that means you're not, pushing yourself to the limits. And, they get those numbers pretty well in the preseason, how hard you can train and whatnot. So, but I would say it would come, like I said, it'd come back a couple of notches towards the back end of the season, just to make sure they manage everyone. Yeah.
All right. Well, some teams may not have finals to play for, but some of the players on those teams do have a little bit to play for, going for contracts, Australian call-ups. How are you expecting these guys to carry themselves over the next few weeks?
I think when you've got players who, obviously don't have a lot of finals footy to play for, you still find something because, one, you don't want to go into a Mad Monday, shot. You actually want to play good footy because it's a weird thing. They decide 23 weeks of the year they want to turn up, and then the last – you see all the bottom-tier teams beat all the top-tier teams.
Bulldogs have done it the last two or three years.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's just because they want to go out on a high. So – there is obviously people up for, representative jerseys as well where, they'll see that. I mean, one at the moment is probably, Chez is looking at the, he probably needs to play a little bit better footy. I mean, if you're talking about, doing interviews for the Australian side, I mean, he did a great one, playing for Queensland. But it doesn't look like he's probably still not going to get it. Mm. So he needs to start playing some good footy to make sure Mal recognises him to go onto their side. He's just one guy that you would be a standout, but there's plenty more that, need to play good footy.
Yeah, we talked a couple of weeks ago about a few clubs in the bottom six or the bottom eight that have got plenty to plan for next season.
Yep.
Look at a team like the Bulldogs with a number of new players coming in over the off-season. So they really need to use the next four games or three games to figure out what the rest of their backline is going to look like and where those new players might fit in. You got a team like the Dragons who are playing to impress the new coach that's coming aboard next year in Shane Flanagan. I mean, the Roosters probably playing for a bit of pride as well, knowing the club that they are. So, I think there's still something for those teams, even if finals is out of reach, there's something for them to work on over the next few weeks.
And from a player's perspective as well, the last thing you want to do is put some bad games on tape when you've got a whole new coaching staff coming in.
Well, I think you're in auditions right now. You're auditioning for the first spot. You can train the house down. That's great. But if everyone's training the house down, you don't have anything to lean on. You're not going to get that first opportunity in a trial match next year. You're not going to get those starting spots. Mm. So as much as, trial matches are, a stepping stone to where a side's going to be when you come into the new season. This is real. This is real life. This is a real game. Stuff, and they need to see that. And Shane Flanagan will be keeping a very close eye on the Dragons.
Des Hasler at the Titans.
Who else is a new coach? Well, I mean, there could be many.
There could be a few more. Ask us again in 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, there's always things for these players that are still in the 13 down to make sure that they're playing good footy.
All right, last question I've got for you. Games going to the regions. Mm. I know, Ryan, you and Gerard were talking about that just before. We've seen Perth last week, Darwin. There's a game going to Waikato.
Yep. Mm.
Where else should the NRL be going? I know the last month has been a little bit disrupted because of the FIFA Women's World Cup, but I like these regional games just as one-off spectacles. It's great. We saw games in Mackay. We saw them in Gladstone during the COVID thing. Oscar, where else should we be seeing NRL games?
Well, I think the NRLW should be looking at getting out of regional areas as well.
Definitely.
When they're able to line the fixtures up so the women are playing before the men's game in the matching teams, I think that's great because it draws a lot more crowds to a doubleheader. Mm-hmm. But if you can't line those games up with an NRL, similar NRL club, why not take them out to a regional ground where you can pack, 5,000, 7,000.
Country people love rugby league.
Yeah.
Like, you could take any, you could take badminton out to a country. They would turn up. If you give them piss,
like,
and put on a hot box, they'll turn up. And I got, believe me, I'm a country kid myself. Like, I know what it's like. They love when you go out to those rural areas, they thoroughly enjoy it. And we need to see more of it. And we need to see a lot more of it. I love that New Zealand, I love the Warriors that they've taken it a few places this year, rurally for them, you know, not kept it in just in Auckland for themselves. I like that they've taken it around because, you know, they've missed rugby league over there for a couple of years because of the Warriors being located in Australia. So I think we need to see a lot more of it. Perth would be, I mean, we spoke about unpopular opinions. Perth would be great to keep seeing that. And we're seeing a lot more games.
They got a good turnout there last year.
Yeah, we've seen a doubleheader there. So, well, there was 42,000 or something.
Yeah, close to 45 for both games.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So, I mean, it obviously works. And like I said, people just love going to watch sports. And, I mean, it's easy to go watch the best sport in the world as well.
And just a quick note as well, Wade Graham retires.
Yeah.
Farewell to 250 gamer, isn't it?
Yeah. I think he plays 250 for the Sharks this week. In fact, it might be. It's close. Anyway. Yeah.
I was coming through when Wade was, like, it's how long ago he started. Like, I was coming through when he was coming through in the 20s. And he's a gentleman and a scholar, you know, on and off the field. He's definitely someone who deserved to win a grand final. That's for, even though it was for the Sharks. he was definitely a guy that I always saw, you know, he deserves one. There's plenty of people that deserve one but never get them, and it's good to see that he gets a grand final and he gets to go out with 250 games. It's pretty big, and it just sort of shows how hard it is to get to 300.
Yeah, well said.
Like in this you know, era of sports at the moment. I mean, I don't think we're going to see too many more people that are coming from that same era get to 300 because with the injury list, you've got to be available week in and week out, and you've got to make sure you don't have any injuries. Like, there's been,
and you've got to be playing good footy.
And playing good footy to make sure you're getting picked every week. So 250, tip of the cap to him. He's been outstanding.
Yeah, he was one of my favourite players.
Yeah.
Coming through. So skillful and so tough, like a bit like Cameron Murray, you know, in the way that he plays. He's got a good little pass in him. He spent a lot of time at six.
Yep.
I think he might have spent some time in the centres. Yeah, played at back row, 13.
What a utility.
He's captained his club. Was he co-captain for the Blues at one point?
I think he was,
maybe.
Yeah,
a hell of a player.
I mean, like, does he want to say that he was co-captain at that time? They probably weren't going that crash.
Oscar, you wrote something that is going to be very close to Jarrell's heart at
did
the moment.
Did you see what I wrote this
No,
week?
I haven't seen
this.
You're
going to like this, mate.
Okay.
Well, I thought I would give...
Is it about wingers?
I thought I'd write a piece. Yes. Celebrating wingers in the modern game, obviously.
We don't get enough flowers.
One of the oldest and fondest pastimes of rugby league is hanging shit on wingers. I remember Bo Ryan doing some pretty good gear for the footy show back in the day about how wingers were treated in clubland. But it's a different case today. I think they've got one of the toughest jobs in the game, and the pay packets are indicating that. The value of wingers is going up and up. They've got to start sets. They've got to save tries. They've got to score tries, defend kicks. We're seeing some wingers come in and, you know, play as a double fullback and offer an extra number.
Why is it taking this long to ride something like this for?
Look, mate, I was saving the best for last. Well, I just noticed there are a couple of wingers that had really good games last weekend, which, you know, got me thinking. And yeah, so I thought I'd give him a bit of a shout out. So awesome. The first one's Daniel Tupou. Tupou's been playing since 2012. He's been around for 13, 14 years.
It's a lot.
Long time. 142 tries in 238 games. I think the biggest compliment we can give Daniel Tupou is he came into the league as a, you know, lightning quick, expert finisher, very athletic, good under the high ball. But he's evolved his game to keep up with the modern trends. He's now super busy in yardage, averages 177 metres this season, which is his second best return across 12 years.
That's insane.
At 32 years of age. So.
Well, that's the one thing you've got to understand is, you know, making sure you're adapting to different eras, and he's done that. I mean, those numbers are insane for a 32-year-old.
Really good.
Crazy.
So busy, so consistent. And it's great to see him. He's signed on again for next year. So hopefully
he'll
retire.
We thought he was gone too.
Yeah, I think he almost was gone.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the Sueli'i thing happened. So, yeah, great to see him hopefully retire as a one-club player in the next couple of years.
Yep.
Dallin Watene-Zalesniak, I think, is relishing a permanent move back out onto the Sting. He spent a bit of time at fullback when he was at the Dogs there. You know, a serviceable fullback, but I think now that he's back on the paint, I think he's one of the best wingers in the game.
Yeah.
Busy in yardage. He's a freakish finisher, and he just competes on everything.
Yeah.
He scored a try against the Titans last week where SJ rolled a kick in, and Alofiana Kanaperera had it covered easy.
Yeah.
And Dallin's just kept chasing. The balls took a wicked bounce right into Dallin's lap, and he scored the try. I think that's a really good way to sum up how he influences games.
And he's changed as well. He's, you know, obviously had to change the way he's played footy. I mean, he was at the Bulldogs for a little bit.
Panthers and then Doggies, yeah.
Panthers, Doggies. I mean, the Doggies didn't go through a great period while he was there, and he's adapted really well and changed his game, and look how good he's going at the moment.
And that hair, that hairstyle.
Oh my God.
The best.
He got a pulled on the weekend, and look, I mean,
he's asking for it.
Well, he is, because like, it's, you're getting sort of elbowed in the face and he's dangling in your face. Yeah. Like, oh, I'd be pulling people's hair.
Yeah. No, he's going great. Good to see Dallin scoring a few tries. David Nofaluma.
Yeah.
At the back end of his career, I think even he would admit that. We saw him take that intercept last week and he just didn't have the legs to go to go the length. But the pass that he threw back on the inside to Luke Brooks, this Harbour Bridge, as he was falling, goes 20 metres back in field and it lands in Brooks' laps without him breaking a stride. And then he ends up putting Charlie Staines over in the other corner. I just thought that was a perfect way to capture Nofaluma. Yep. He's made the hard things look so easy and the easy things look so friggin' hard sometimes. But yeah, he scored his 100th try for the West Tigers last week.
His life could have been a lot different. I mean, look what he looked. Look how good he looked when he was in Melbourne last year when they got loaned.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like
4 tries in 3 games or something,
Yeah, like he would have been crazy.
But yeah, I just wanted to give him a shout out. That's the first time a Wests Magpie or a Tiger or a Wests Tigers has scored 100 tries for the club. So yeah, really good to see David. Brian To'o, we talk about him almost every week. I don't need to repeat myself. He's the best yardage winger, one of the best finishers, strong defender, and just so bloody consistent.
Well. Yep.
And then Jermaine Asako. I talked about this on this podcast, I think, last year, but I'll just read out what I wrote for the blog. Watching him play for the Tweed Seagulls in the Q Cup last year in the semi-final. 6 points up in the final minutes of a semi-final, Asako was beaten on the outside to concede Tweed's narrow lead before dropping the ensuing kickoff in the in goal.
Mm.
And then he went for a short dropout off that error, kicked it out over the sidelines, and the opposition, I think it was the Falcons, kicked a penalty from in front. Yep. And the Tweed Seagulls season was over.
Yeah.
So a very bitter way for Asako to finish playing there last year. And if it weren't for the Dolphins giving him a lifeline, he might not. I don't think he was going to pick up a club contract for an NRL.
I think he might.
Year.
Like, he might have gone to union.
Yeah. But I don't think.
Honestly. But we're seeing the best footy out of him.
The best.
Yeah.
He scored 3 or 4 on the weekend. He's got to be one of the best targets in the air.
Comeback player of the year.
Yeah. Good shout.
It's a great shout. Because obviously he had a great couple of years at the Broncos there, those periods where he was playing pretty good, but they were going through a pretty tough time when he was there as well. So it probably didn't shed enough light on what type of rugby league player he is, you know?
So like busy in yardage, 160 metres a game in yardage. He's leading the lead for points and he's like second in try scored as
and
well.
He's got obviously a great coach who understands what he wants on and off the field. Yep. So who gives him free rein to do what he wants. There's not many coaches that can do that. Wayne Bennett's really good at that.
Yeah, and he does it so consistently with those, the Anthony Milfords and the...
Definitely.
And then the last one, Mekele Ravalawa, who I think if he was at my club, I'd have a love-hate relationship with him. He's capable of doing things no other winger in the game can do, but he also makes some god-awful errors sometimes.
Yeah.
But he scored 4 against the Parramatta Eels last week. Wasn't enough to beat them.
Mm.
But some of the tackle busts, like some of his finishes, he's got guys hanging off him, trying to push him over the sideline.
Yep.
He's just so strong. And I can't wait to see what Shane Flanagan does with Zach Lomax and him next year.
Yeah, I can't wait either. It's going to be awesome what they look like, those two.
All right. Well, I'm going to borrow a segment from the guy who normally sits in Ryan's thing. And I can't really call it Foggs's Fast 5, and I can't call it James's Fast 5.
I don't think he calls it that either. Sometimes it's very slow.
Well, you met Liam, right?
Yeah,
slow he's can be fast.
He's trying his best.
It's not his best suit. No.
Should also probably say congratulations, Liam. He actually went through with the wedding on the weekend.
Yeah, congrats, Foggs.
All commiserations, which one? Whichever.
I sent him a message this morning congratulating him and telling him how lovely the wedding photos looked. And I said that I was missing him and I wished him good fun on his honeymoon.
Honeymoon, yeah.
And his response was, yeah, I miss you too. Didn't realise I'd miss you blokes this much. So thanks, Foggs, for that.
Oh, he'll
pick
be
me
listening.
Up, you need it.
He'll be listening. He'll be listening.
All right, well, we'd better throw him under the bus as much as possible over the next half hour or so.
Definitely.
But I'm going to go a little bit nostalgic here, sticking with the wingers theme. I've just picked out a few random 90s wingers, and I just want to know what sticks out for these guys. Darren Albert.
Oh, gosh, how fast he was. Darren Albert was lightning, especially in his year. I mean, all I can remember from really from Darren Albert was his flowing jersey when he was in the, like, it's just because it was so big, it looked like a parachute. Like, that's how fast he was running, right? Like, he was lightning fast, and that's one thing I do remember about him.
Was that back in the day when the jerseys were just one size per position?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, because obviously they didn't have enough money to get medium, small, large, extra large. So I think they just all got large. There was even one stage where there was like an era where they were taping the jerseys back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think someone got injured because they landed
got a
on
finger
it.
Caught in
oh,
it or
oh
something,
no, I think they landed on their back.
On the tie, on the little.
Yeah, the tie, the knot. So
that'd sting.
Yeah, they nipped that in the bud really quick. But yeah, Darren Albert, fast.
What about Willie Kahn?
Oh, well, one thing I know about Willie Kahn is he's got no sideburns. I've drunk piss with Willie Kahn before, and I just couldn't stop looking at him because his haircut was terrible. But he was a gun as well, strong runner of the ball. It's crazy to see how wingers have changed so much since the 90s and to this day and age.
What about Matt Singh?
Ooh. Yeah, quick as well.
Yeah.
Footwork.
Headgear.
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
Sensing a theme with these profiles. How about Brett Dallas?
Ooh, I mean.
Too young to remember.
Yeah. What wasn't there to like about Brett Dallas? I remember Alf talking a lot about Brett Dallas. Well, he was fast as well. He had very long legs and definitely none of them were built. Mm. Like, none of them were built like brick shit houses. Like, they're all whippets. So I suppose the theme back then is, no wonder no one wanted to hang out with them.
Don't make any tackles. Yeah, don't take any hit-ups.
Yeah, exactly.
Just run around people.
And I've got one that bucks the trend. Yeah. Big Del Wendell Saylor.
Well, Wendell Saylor did buck the trend in many ways. He was one of the best shit talkers, and he sat on the wing. So I think, the one thing about Wendell is that he did lay a platform at the Broncos, though, for a lot of young kids that are coming, especially myself. I mean, I wanted to wear that number 5 jersey because Wendell Saylor wore it, and I wanted to be better than Wendell Saylor because he'd laid such a great platform. But one thing I do know about Wendell is never take a phone call from him because he'll have a conversation with himself, and then he'll say, anyway, it's good to talk to you. And then he hung up. You know, so I didn't say anything.
I mean, you said he bucked the trend. Would you say he set the trend?
Yeah,
as well?
Yeah, like, sorry.
He's the prototype for the modern day winger.
Oh, most of him and Lottie Takiri.
Yeah.
Very much so. Yeah.
Funny you mentioned that. My big memory of Wendell Saylor actually comes when he was playing for the Wallabies.
Yeah.
2003 Rugby World Cup, Australia-Romania at Suncorp Stadium. Mm. Yep. Del started on the wing, and you could tell he was just so hungry for a try that day. Anytime he got the ball, it was just straight for the line, straight for the line. Didn't cross. Later in the game, Lottie Takiri comes on as a flanker. So he was playing as a forward.
That's right.
And he scored a try that day. So Takiri got a try as a flanker. Del, 80 minutes
Del
on the wing.
Filthy about that.
Yeah. Oh, he would have let people know about that as well. That would have been a story. That's he actually awful. Probably wouldn't have remembered that story because he won't want to tell anyone. Oh, big Del.
Yeah, and Takiri scored a try in the final as well.
Oh, man. Yeah. They were guns. They were guns. Pity they can't find any good rugby league players to go play for them now. Because rugby union. Struggling.
All right. Well, Gerald, you got story time for us?
Yeah, I do. Well, in the light of our good friend Jared, obviously not being here, being sick, I thought I'd tell the story about, because I was pretty close to in camp this year about in Origin. And a lot of people knew about, obviously, the Cam Munster story, how he was pretty crook. Cam Munster was very, very sick. And the reason I know that is because I did go into camp and I found out that he was locked in his room at some stage, so he missed a lot of training. Not much of a story, but just more of a sort of dig at Jared today to say.
That's all we're here for.
Cameron Munster basically played the flu game like Michael Jordan. And you can't be here to do a podcast, mate. Yeah. I was going to tell a better story, but I was like, nah, I'm going to take a stab at him. Because the other thing is that I wanted him to be consecutive with me. Like, I think this is like the 56th, 55th. Rich is at 55 or something like that. Yeah, he doesn't know.
But I think you and me will be the longest streak now.
Yeah, we'll be. So I really wanted him to be here, but he's a coward, so it's okay.
Cop that, Timmy. Don't come back. No.
All right. Oscar, what's going on with the NRLW?
The NRLW is ripping and a tearing.
It is ripping and a tearing.
Yeah,
I'm excited when you talk about this.
It's good. I've been frothing. My poor missus doesn't know what's hit her. I've gone through 20.
Oh, God. No. I was going to say, Jesus.
Come on, guys. Come on. She's gone. Oh, you've ruined my joke now. I'm just going to talk about NRLW. Okay. So first game up, Raiders versus the Dragons. Interested to see how this one goes. Zahara Temera, the Raiders 5'8", and Dragons halfback Racine McGregor. They spent two or three years at the Roosters together in previous seasons. So this will be the first time they go up against each other this year. Racine's arguably the best halfback in the game. She's got a great kicking game. She's got a killer right foot step. She's a great ball player. Zahara's kicking game has probably been the best in the competition so far this year. So we're seeing two of the best kicking games go up against each other, and I think that's probably going to decide the result in this one. Both squads fairly even in the forwards, and both have got some good strike in the outside back. So yeah, I think it's going to be a real grind. And I've tipped Raiders 1-12 in that one. I've been really impressed with the way that they've put together their squad in their maiden NRLW season.
How many more? They only play nine, right?
That's nine games.
Nine games this year. So they're
Three-game final series.
Yep.
Which is going to make the Kennedy-Cherrington four-game ban quite impactful as well.
Yeah, well said. Kennedy caught up in an unfortunate lifting tackle last week.
That was bad.
It was really bad, yeah. And Kennedy is a clean skin player. She plays a very aggressive and, you know, she's a competitive player, but it definitely was not intentional. Yeah, she'll miss 4 weeks. There's a girl called Chloe Jackson who's been named in the reserves for the Parramatta Eels this week. She played for the New South Wales Blues in the under-19 State of Origin game about a month ago, and I was really impressed by her. She played on an edge in that game. She's only quite small, but she made about 45 tackles and just tackled everything. I think she might find herself onto the bench this week, so she's one to look out for, Chloe Jackson.
Yep.
In the second game this week, the West's Tigers take on the North Queensland Cowboys. West's Jared's team this year. He picked them out before a ball was kicked. And they're playing
really
good footy. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're missing Bovetti Welsh this week. She's out with a HIA. So I think that might affect how they play a little bit. But their left edge has been a really good avenue for points so far this year. I've spoken about Losana Lutu quite a lot on this podcast. Plays with lovely tempo. So yeah, I think the Tigers' left edge, I've tipped a couple of try scorers there. You can check that out on the Neds blog. Third game, Parramatta versus the Broncos. All the talk after NRLW round three was Mele Hufanga, who scored four tries last weekend.
What did she run for as well?
230 metres or something.
Wow.
Yeah, wrecking ball.
She is a wrecking ball. She's a big girl. Listed at, I can't remember now, so be close to 100 kegs. She's a lot like Valence Tafade. Good mover, very powerful. The Broncos didn't play to her over the first 2 weeks, which probably has a lot to do with why they were 0-2 to start the year. But every time they got a bit of momentum in a set last week, whether it was an offload or a quick play of the ball or a little half break, they immediately swung it to Mele on the left edge and she cashed in four times.
Wow.
She's up against an Eels right edge that's conceded 11 tries in three games.
Where's the money this weekend?
Get on, Mele Hufanga. Sydney Roosters versus Cronulla Sharks. Roosters were back to their best last week. 30-point drubbing of the St. George Illawarra Dragons. I wrote a big piece today about Taryn Aiken for Rugby League Writers. She had four or five try involvements last week. She set up with the exact same shape outside her every time.
Yeah.
And each time she hit a different option based on what cues the defensive line gave her. Very impressed with Aiken. I think she might end up Dally M Player of the Year. So she's one to look out for. And then wrapping up the round, we've got the Titans versus the Knights, which I think is going to be a cracker.
First versus second.
Yeah, Knights were second favourites, I think, going into the season. Gold Coast, I tipped at $11 on this podcast. They are 3-0 to start the year. Very impressive. They're conceding just 10 points a game, so the defence is excellent, and then they're cashing in a couple of tries late in the game as well to win it. So they go up against the Knights this week, who are deservingly, I think, third shortest in the premiership odds at the moment. It'd be a really good test of the Gold Coast to see where they're at four games in. So, yeah, keen as for the NRLW round four to kick off.
With all the stats, trends and betting you need to know, this is The Offload.
Big weekend coming up and big segment coming up. Playing Liam Fogarty this week is Ryan Cook. What have you got for us with The Offload?
Well, James, I feel like Oscar's already done half of this for me.
Sorry, man.
He's been rattling off all these wingers' names.
This is the most organised podcast we'll do.
We're not used to organisation, mate. That's why.
We'll start with Don't Argue this week. Ravalawa, who Oscar's already covered in depth, but you're getting $51 for him to score a hat trick last week.
$51
buckaroonies.
AJ was like $330 the week before for a hat trick.
Insane.
Wow. Oh, my God.
finished with four, of course. That was a new career high for him. Previously only had a hat trick on three occasions. Dragons take on the Rabbitohs this week. Ravalawa scored against them in round 15 in that boil over you probably remember, Oscar. Yeah. So that's one to keep an eye on.
There's been a few losses since then, actually. Maybe I don't remember.
Yeah. moving on with the punters' pals, Daniel Tupou at the SCG. He loves playing at that ground. He scored a try in each of his last four appearances. You're getting $2.50 for him to score two tries or more last week. Sean Johnson on the Goldie.
Yes.
He scored a try in his last four games at Seabus. And the other one, this one's a little bit more, this is probably more your areas as well, Oscar.
All right.
Right side wingers versus Canberra. Yep. So in eight straight games at Geo Stadium, the opposing right side winger has scored at least one try.
Wow.
So just keep that trend in
that's
mind.
Cool, yeah, that's a good
it's a fun one.
It's got a lot to do with Jared Croker, unfortunately. Yeah. Love the guy, but he has been found out laterally a few times this year.
Yep.
He's dropped for Ethan Strange.
Wow.
He's under 19 State of Origin Blues star. He scored three or four for the Blues last month.
Very fast.
Very fast.
Yeah.
I still think right wingers might be a shot against that left edge.
Yeah. You guys just keep talking. I'm just going to go onto my app now and get on that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's smart. Smart.
So Raiders are back home against the Dogs and the Broncos over this final month of the season. We'll move on to the futures forecast. There hasn't been a lot of movement, but the Bronx, $4.25 into $3.80 to win the chip. Mm. The two drifters from the week just gone are the Bunnies, $8 back out to $12. Cows, 13 out to 19.
Oh, gosh.
Incorrect grounding. So these are the multis that fell short by a leg.
I had a few of these.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people did. one punter nearly turned a dollar into just over 1,800.
No.
Yeah. This one's a bit rough. So it's a seven legger. It was all on different margins. So he's taken the Warriors, Knights, Bunnies, Eels, Raiders, 1 to 12. Panthers, Broncos, 13 plus, and the leg that failed was the Bunnies, 1 to 12. So, yeah.
Lollipop sticks.
That sucks.
That does suck.
Thoughts and prayers.
On a more positive note, we saw one punter turn $10 into over 10 grand.
Well done.
Yes. Hey, they're the ones we want. They're the ones we like.
If only we could do it. Yeah. Four legger on both of the Sunday games. So Ravalawa, two tries or more, and Sebastian Chris, who I don't think he's playing this week.
No.
Two tries or more as well, and Nofaluma anytime.
Oh, Sebastian Chris scored that one off the very forward
pass. That's right.
So
which
that punter is cheering.
Oh my gosh, so that was forward. Jeez.
So were two of the Sharks ones against the Rabbitohs. But anyway, keep going on.
And just lastly, we saw this is bloody good odds. So a handful of savvy punters cashed in on Ravalawa to score a hattie, one turn, $20 into just over $1,000. We also saw $50 into $2,000 on Asako to score a hattie himself.
Wow.
Yes.
The hat tricks are, they're in there like cash swimwear ways. This year.
That's where the value lies. Yeah. And last but not least, don't tell the miso. $7.5K on the Storm head-to-head, $10K on Manly head-to-head, $15K on the Cowboys, and $20K on the Dragons head-to-head.
$20K on the Dragons?
Yeah, you got to be.
Who is that?
Oh, and they were winning with like 10 minutes to go as well.
Oh, my gosh. That's my bro.
Some rough ones there.
The Neds NRL Punting Podcast Multi.
Let's move on to our own multi for the upcoming weekend. And in proof that this isn't the most perfectly organized one. Jarrell, what's your leg?
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot that we were doing this. My leg this week is,
I can go if you want 30 seconds.
Yes, you can go.
I've had a look at the Broncos' right edge this weekend. They're going up against the Parramatta Eels, who have named Dejan Arce at left center. Dejan did a really good job filling in for Dylan Brown in attack over the last month or so, but he's got some defensive issues. And I think the way that the Broncos have been attacking down that right edge, they've scored 48 tries down that edge this year, which is the most of any right edge in the competition. So I'm going to go with Katoni Staggs to score this weekend.
I was thinking about that one as well. So nice. Good to know that I've actually got some backing there.
Great minds think alike.
All right. Ryan, we'll go to you very quickly.
Yeah, I've locked in on the Raiders plus 11.5 against the Storm on Saturday. Sunday, I should say. That's a bit of a rivalry game, I think. It doesn't get talked about enough. Yep. Storm are back at Amy Park for the first time in a little while, but the Raiders have covered in their last five games, I believe, against the Storm at Amy Park. So I think there's I think that line's a bit generous.
Mm.
Yeah, I can see that. And it's back at Amy Park as well. They've been away for the last month because of ground availabilities and homecoming for the Storm. Could see a few nerves
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go on the same game then, just what you talked about on that.
At Ethan Strange?
Yeah.
Okay.
At Ethan Strange. Would that be Will Warbrick?
That would be Will Warbrick.
Will Warbrick, anytime try scorer, $1.92.
Nice.
That'll be pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, the stats are there.
Yummy.
I like it. And I like yummy. I like her anytime try scorer. Makes me excited.
All right. Well, I've been giving this quite a lot of thought as well, and I'm going to go for Penrith, -16 in their game against Manly. I think Penrith,
they're going
to
hate that.
Yeah, coming into form, and it's looking quite strong for them as well. So I'm just throwing that all together on the Neds market now. So the multi for this week, looking at all of that, is coming up at $18.12.
It's more than I would have thought. Jeez, that's way more than I thought.
Oh, boys. Well, I'm getting on it. I'm getting on it.
Well, we've got the two legs from the same game. So just reiterating that, so we've got the Raiders plus 11.5 at the line at the time of recording, because that could very well change.
Yep.
Will Warbrick, anytime try scorer. That seems to be one that trips me up. Katoni Staggs, anytime try scorer. Mm. And Penrith, -16. So nice. I'm looking forward to letting you guys down and not being allowed back on next week.
We're going to cash it in.
Yeah, we'll cash that one
biggest multi of the year, and Jared's going to miss out on it.
I imagine
going to be
filled.
Going
to be filled.
And if that does get up, I'm going to have to phone in from the family holiday next weekend. Is that okay, Rich? Got the thumbs up on that. So, that's looking pretty good. Now, the last thing that we've got to do is name the episode.
Oh, yes. Well, what is he? What's his?
The flu pod?
Where? No,
that's what we'd say.
I don't hate that.
Here, wouldn't
yeah.
it?
I was the thinking the backup plan.
The backup plan.
Oh, the backup plan.
Reserve grade week?
Yeah.
Tim's his day off.
Yeah. I don't hate that.
Sleepy Tim?
Yeah.
Jared's day off.
He's going to listen to this and just be absolutely fuming out of
it. Well, it seems like he can't do anything at the moment because he's not here.
He's too sick to be listening.
He's too sick to be here. I'm sure we'll figure out one of those.
Yeah.
It'll be either Timsy's not here. What is it?
Timsy's day off.
Timsy's day off. Timsy's day off, I think we're going to go with.
Yeah.
Jared's day off, I think.
Or reserve grade day.
Yeah, reserve day. I think I like it.
All right. Let's start with you, Oscar. What are you looking forward to this weekend?
Looking forward to cashing in on a few NRLW punts. Yeah. Very unlucky last weekend. I picked like 3 or 4 try scorers and the person either side of them scored. So we got the right areas. So we're zeroing in. We're going to cash in this week.
Jerome?
Yeah, I'm just excited. It's obviously close, very close to finals footy, but the one game that I am excited to watch is Melbourne Storm versus Canberra. There does seem to be like a little bit of a rival there. I'm not sure if it's because of the two coaches that are mates that don't want to lose against each other after they have a beer after the game. It seems like there's some bad blood always with Canberra and Melbourne. So really looking forward to that. But like I said, business end of the year. Can't wait for finals footy and just getting very close.
And Ryan, what are you looking forward to this weekend?
Bronx Eels Friday night. I think there's a bit of bad blood between those two teams as well. Oh, Eels still on the fringe of the eight. They have to win this game, but the Bronx pumped them earlier in the year. But in reverse, the Eels absolutely flogged them last year in Brisbane. So I think the Broncos will have a bit of revenge in mind as well.
Yep. Mm. That was going to be my thing as well, because the two games between these two sides this year haven't been at either side's preferred stadium, because the Eels home game was up in Darwin. Yep. And this one's at the Gabba as well.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. There's a different niche little stack. Yes. Yeah.
I thought your final thought was going to be a shout out to the Matildas.
I was going to say, I was literally just about to say it before we go.
I'm sure you've been watching close.
I have been watching very close. 5 o'clock Saturday. Suncorp's, Brisbane Stadium, I'm sorry.
Court Lang Park.
Oh, sorry. They're not letting us. The fever are blowing up. I don't know, but Tillies.
Your own man, Gerald.
Yeah, I know. The Tillies are going well. They play France over the weekend. I know it's a rugby league podcast, but we've got to get behind them. Yep. Not only that, I love that this has happened, but I think they had like the highest viewing of any sports in Australia. Yep.
3.56 million just on Channel 7, not including streaming or anything.
Just so happy that's where our women's game is going. Mm. We get a superstar back in Sam Kerr as well, which is great. I'm not sure if she'll start, but been following that very close. And obviously over the weekend as well, the Premier League starts again. So
come on, Arsenal.
Come on, the Gooners. We got this. So I'm sure you'll be hearing about a lot. If we keep winning, you'll be hearing a lot about that in this podcast. podcast as well over the next couple of weeks.
For sure. And just for a bonus tip as well, Australia to qualify, so that's 90 minutes, extra time or penalties, yep. $2.30.
Wow. Ooh, nice. That's good. Stop getting.
James.
I'm not going to lie to you.
You're already on it.
I got on to win it.
Me too.
At $11.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's go. Come on, Tillies.
Well, it is going
I want to eat noodles for a week.
It is going to be a massive sporting weekend across the codes here in the Sunshine State. We're all looking forward to it. And that's going to be it for this edition of the Neds NRL Punting Podcast. Thank you, Oscar.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gerald.
Thank you very much for having me again.
And thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, James.
And good news is we got through reserve grade day. Yeah, that's the important thing.
Achieved. 2 points in the bank.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll be back in some way, shape, or form next week. And if Jared's still out, then we might have to borrow Dylan from the AFL podcast. So good luck, guys.
No. We'll run manage. Ourselves. We'll manage. Don't worry. We'll manage. We'll run this thing to the ground before he gets over here.
All right. Well, enjoy the games this weekend. That's going to be it. Have a good weekend.
Thanks for listening to the Neds NRL Punting Podcast. Remember to like, subscribe, and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.